Bit about me. So the reason I can give you guys all free controls is because I'm the regional technical evangelist for Infragistics. So they're a UI controls company. So they have UI controls on every platform, .NET, HTML5, etc. So I said, come up afterwards and I'll give you my card. So today what we're going to be talking about is Windows Phone services. Aren't we? Yes. Sorry, I've got three talks. I forgot which one it is today. Okay, we're talking about Windows Phone services. That's good. So the reason that we're talking about this is when users are interacting with your Windows Phone application, they're only ever interacting at one application at a time, the one that's in the foreground, and that's it. They've done that for a bunch of reasons around battery usage, making sure the application that's currently executing has got all the resources, so it's nice and fast and fluid. So for that reason, the user's only ever interacting with one application at a time. But the point of this talk is that even though they can only interact with the application when it's open, the application experience doesn't have to end when they navigate away from the application. So there are multiple ways that we can continue this experience with a speaker, with a user. So we can do that with background tasks, so we can get stuff ready for them. We can do things with live tiles, we can keep giving them information even when they're not in our application. And we can also use push notifications to let them know when something critical has happened right now. So this is what the talk is going to be covering today. Actually, that's what the next slide says. So that's what we're going to be covering today. We're going to talk about what makes a great app versus just a standard app. We're going to look at how background tasks, live tiles, and toast notifications can help us with that. Then after we've looked at those, which we have to do locally, we're going to look at Azure Notification Hub, which allows us to do it up in the cloud and push these things down to the Windows Phone. So if that's not what you thought it was this morning, now's your chance to escape. So let's just start off with making great apps. So there are good apps, then there are exceptional apps. So good apps are what most of us can make. While the user has it in front of them and they're interacting with it, we can engage the user. That's a well and good. But when they navigate away from it, it's out of sight, out of mind. Now, exceptional apps are ones that keep engaging the user well after the application has been closed. Now, my favorite example of this one is an application called Call Credit. I use this one on my phone all the time. So what it allows you to do is you can put in the login details for your mobile phone provider, and it will periodically poll the server and check what your current phone balance is. So when you have the application open, you get really detailed stats. You can see how much credit you've used, how much is remaining, what your daily average should be, but your daily average is currently that much. Same with your data usage. Now, this is great when you've got the application open, but with something like how much credit you have left on your phone, that's something that you want to keep being told. So this is where the live tile comes in handy, and it saved me a lot of money over the years. So it just updates automatically for you. And it does that through our background workers. So it's because it's going out to multiple different telcos, and you set it up which one it's going to hit, it periodically uses the background worker to just every 15 minutes goes off, hits a telco, brings back the data, and then it goes and updates that live tile. So there's a great example of an application which was great but has become exceptional to me because I don't have to keep opening it up to find out what my call credit is. So because we just saw that application uses a live tile, I'll dive in and we'll have a look at live tiles. Now, all of my code demos today are about 4 to 6 lines of code, each demo. So all my demos are there to show you how to do each one of these things and to show you that it only takes 3 or 4 lines of code to do each of these. So it's really easy to get all of this stuff into your application just like that. So it's really easy for all of you to start making exceptional applications. So live tiles, anyone who hasn't listened to a Microsoft marketing talk in the last 5 years, here are live tiles. The point of them is that they can convey information outside the app. So we've got Skype, we can see that we've got 4 calls that are there waiting for us. We've got the messaging apps, we've got 10 messages waiting for us, and we've got the Contoso application saying that there are 21 notifications that we haven't looked at yet. Now, all of the Windows Phone SDK lets us interact with these tiles. And update them as we want. Now, there are a few different types of tile templates that you can use. We've got the standard type of tile, which is what Windows Phone 7 had. Windows Phone 7 had this. They've updated to a flip tile. So with this flip tile template, you've got three sizes, small, medium, wide, and you've got a front. You can set a notification badge number on it, and you can also set what's going to be on the flip side of it. So you can set the background image separately for the front and the back. You can update the content on separately on the front and the back. So most applications are probably going to use this style. The second style that we've got is the iconic tile. Now, if you've used a Windows Phone before, this is what your mail tile looks like. So you've got an icon of an envelope, then you've got that. And in this case, I've set a wide tile so that when it's wide, it actually brings up the latest mail as well, the iconic tile showing you how many are there. So I've got two different demos today. One's going to be showing the standard tile. The first one's going to be showing the iconic tile, and then later on at the end when I'm getting into Azure, I'll be showing the standard tile, just so we can see that there are two different ways of doing it. So updating a live tile looks like a whole bunch of code, but it's really only three lines that have been rolled out. If I can find the... No, I'll just point. So the first... Actually, I'll just do it in code instead of just pointing it there. Number 8. Please wait while background tasks finish. Hey. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Ask a question while we're waiting.
Please. While your application is open?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it just looks nice. It looks nice in like a message box. If you want to save the user, like, you know, progress confirmed or something like that.
Yeah, you can do that. There are ways of doing that. I'm not covering them today, so you can come up after and we'll talk about that.
Cool.
Okay, expires in 2 days. That's fine. That's enough for today. File new project, Windows Phone app, and it's lost all of my user settings. /demos, phone, local, services, demo. Which means I'm going to have to reset my font size again. Okay. See, even my computer doesn't want to be here at 8 a.m. on a Friday morning. Okay, so what I'm going to do on this, I'm just going to add a single button on there. We can click the button, which will invoke our code that's going to update our live tile. So first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to right-click my grid, change my layout type to a stack panel, because all of my UIs are done in a stack panel. Drag a button on. So something... Cool. I don't know when they added this into Visual Studio, but with these, with text boxes and buttons, if you just click into it, you can actually update the text. I have no idea when that got added in. So if I double click on it, we're going to get our our event handler. So let's delete all of this code. Okay, when we click the button, we're going to go into a method called update live tile. So that was three lines of code. Oh no, that's right, I did a little bit of error checking. Paste. Okay, but there's only three main components to it. So the first thing that we're doing is we're going and looking at all the active tiles. Now, in Windows Phone 8, you can pin more than one tile off for your application to the start screen. You've always got the main tile that you can have there when the user pins it. But if you ever use something like the Qantas app, so you can pin the main live tile for the Qantas app, which is there and updating you about general things. But inside the Qantas app, you can actually go and pin additional tiles there. So you can have an additional tile for each one of your flights. So you can have a different tile for each one of your flights and have them updating with more information. Another good one for that is TripIt. So with TripIt, you just forward all of your flights and hotels and accommodation to it, so you've got multiple trips. And so with that, you can pin multiple tiles to your start screen, and it will show you the next flight for that trip. So this is why we go first or default. So this is going to give you all the active tiles, which may be 0, 1, up to however many. So we're just going to grab the first one. We're going to change the tile on that. So step one, actually get a handle to your tile. This is just to make sure that we do actually have a tile, because they haven't pinned anything to the start screen. There's nothing for us to do. They have pinned one to the start screen. Step two is just create a new one. So we're just creating a new iconic tile. We're setting up some things in it. So we saw that in my screenshot, the iconic tile had a number, which was a number of males, something like that. So just to show that it's doing something, whenever we click the button, we're just going to take the current minutes, so 27. We're going to just change the tile to say 27. We'll set the title to Tech Ed Demo, and then we can set up some icons. Now, those icons are just here under Assets, Tiles, Iconic Tile. So the third step is just update that tile with the tile data. So there's only three steps to it. Now, because I want to use iconic tiles, one step I need to do is go into Properties, open up the Windows Phone Manifest, and change the template to iconic tiles. This just lets the system know that it needs to display it differently. Now, it's freaking out and saying that I haven't actually set any default tiles, and it will fail certification, but I want that for the moment just to show that there's nothing there to start off with, but then it's going to show something. So we just kick up the emulator. Debugging, launching, there we go. First thing we're going to do, find my application. We're going to pin it to the start screen. At the moment, it's blank because we haven't set anything for it. We haven't set a title. We didn't set up in Visual Studio what the default should be, so it can't do anything. So if we launch the application again, hit Update Live Tile, we go back, there we go. We've got some nice animations and it set it to 28. So that's how easy it is. In this instance, we did it within the application code. So while the application was running, we updated the live tile. Now, there are a number of reasons why I might want to do it. The best example for me is Angry Birds. So while you're playing Angry Birds, whenever you complete levels, you get a number of stars. So what games like Angry Birds do, or Cut the Rope, they once you finish the level, they actually go and update the live tile and they show you what your score was and how many stars you got on it. So that's a nice way of, once the user has gone away from your application, they can remember, oh yeah, I got up to that, and then they want to engage your application again. So again, all this is giving the user more reasons to engage with the application constantly. Gratuitous use of animations. This is in the template, I didn't add them in. So live tiles were the first one that we were looking at. So you saw it's only three lines of code to get them into your application. Now, background tasks allow us to do a number of things. Now, so as I mentioned right at the beginning, your application can only do things when it's up in the foreground. Now, we can use background tasks to do work periodically to help support our application. Now, it's important to remember that this isn't like Windows on the desktop. Now, on the desktop, when your application's running, it's running. If you hit minimize, it's still running in the background. Not the same with the phone. As soon as you navigate away from your application, it gets suspended and it's not executing anymore. If you want to do any work in the background, you have to use background tasks. So these are a different worker that gets executed periodically by the phone. And these background tasks are restricted in what they can do so that they don't disrupt the user. So this is around how much CPU time they can use, things like that. And so the reason Microsoft did this was because if you've only got one application that can run at a time in the foreground, and in the background you don't have applications that are running in the background, you just have periodic background agents running, then that means you get longer battery life. So that's the main reason that they did that. If you just had on your phone, it's like Windows Desktop, and you had 50 applications still running in the background, your CPU would just be pegged all the time. So periodically, your phone would just check, the system will check if it's okay to run a background task right now. And so it's based off a number of different factors. Most of them are around resource availability. So the current amount of RAM that's free, the current CPU utilization, if the phone's currently in battery saver mode. And so they've done this, if your phone is currently, the user's interacting with the application, then the CPU utilization's at 100%, you probably want to kick off some background tasks to do something, because that's going to make your UI start to get a little bit jittery, bad user experience, so the phone will just delay executing that background task. Another thing to be aware of is that users may disable your background tasks. So your application may go and create a background task, and you may think the background task is always going to be there doing stuff for you, but users themselves can disable them. In fact, I disable a whole bunch of background tasks on my phone just because I've got too many of them there. And so something to be aware of is that it may never actually end up executing. Your background task may never happen. So it's important to make sure your background tasks are additive to your application. All the core functionality should be in the application itself. Background tasks are just there to add sugar over the top of your application. Okay, so when should we use background tasks? Whenever we need to poll data periodically. So we saw the core credit application. So we want to periodically pull back our current status of the credit. Another example is the weather. So periodically we just poll and pull back the weather. Another great reason why we may want to use background tasks is to pre-fetch data. So things like Twitter, the stock exchange, maybe you want to periodically go and just pre-fetch the data. So the next time the user goes and launches the application, the data's already there and you can display something to the fresh data to the user straight away, rather than them launching the application, waiting for it to refresh and then going. So it's a way to make your application look like it's very, really, really fast and snappy. Another great reason to use background tasks, and which is why I've had to do them sometimes, is when you don't control the back end. So core credit is another great example of that. They don't control the back end of Virgin, Telstra, Optus, etc. So that all they can do is just periodically poll those servers and pull back data. Later on, we'll have a look at different ways that we can do this when we do control the back end. But for most of us, we're probably going to have to use background tasks if we're just building applications to display data. So we'll have a look at how we can use background workers with live tiles. Now, in the first demo, we showed that we can do it while we're in the application. There you go, that updates to 33. But with core credit and the weather, you want to go and update that live tile periodically in the background. So to do that, we're going to need a background worker. So step one, we're going to right-click the solution and we're going to add a new project. So we'll go right down the bottom. We've got a Windows Phone Scheduled Task Agent. Just going to leave that as Scheduled Task 1, Windows Phone 8. Cool. I'm just going to rename this class. What do you mean it's not currently available? Okay, build, rename. Apparently, refactoring is not available. Refactor, rename. Demo scheduled agent. Okay, awesome. So we've created that task. So if we scroll down, it's got a whole bunch of setup code. We don't care about that. We don't care about exceptions. The one thing that we do care about is this bit, the onInvoke. So whenever our background agent is invoked, this is our chance to do something with it. So we're going to replace this to-do with updateLiveTile. Generate the method. Now to update this live tile, we're just going to cheat. We're going to go back to this one, grab this code, and just put it into our background agent. None of my ReSharper shortcuts are working. So as you all saw, when I started up Visual Studio this morning, it said it waited, 2 minutes, saying it's trying to load the user profile data. It didn't load my user profile data, so now nothing is working, refactoring or ReSharper or anything. But we've got our background worker code working there. So in our phone application, we need to go add a reference to that. So now in our application, we can add two more buttons. We're going to add one button to enable the background worker. We're going to add a second button to disable the background worker, just to show how it works like that. So we've got the first button. We have the second button. Enable background worker. Disable background worker. Double click on that one. Done that. Yes. Paste. Build. Okay, so this one's got a little bit more code to it, but not much. The first one we've got is just, we're just setting up a string. So that's just the name of our class. So that's easy. So then we're just going scheduledActionService.find. So we're just going to find in the system if we have a background worker currently created with that name on it. So because we've created this application, we know what the name of that background worker is. Once we've got that, we just do a check to make sure if it has currently been scheduled. So if our background worker has been scheduled, we're going to delete it because we're going to go and create it again. Now, the reason for that is with background workers, whenever you schedule them, they're only scheduled in the system for 2 weeks at a time. That's it. After 2 weeks, we'll just stop doing it. So what you should do, every time your application starts up, you should put this code into application launched so that every time it'll go and refresh the schedule. So every time the user starts up, it's going to restart that schedule for another 2 weeks. This is just so that if a user uses some bad app once and then they never open up again just because it was terrible, it's not going to be there forever sucking up CPU and battery time. So then we can just give the system a little bit of information about it. So if the user goes into the settings screen, looks at the current background task, we've got a description there. And so then we just add it to be scheduled. Now, because we're debugging and we want to keep on doing it, now this line of code only works when you are debugging. We can actually go and give it a time when it should happen. So once we click the button, after 20 seconds, it's going to go and launch that background task straight away. This helps us with debugging. Same with our actual on-invoke code. After we've updated the live tile, we should actually go and reschedule it. So if you are debugging these, if you just use that line, it helps you to make sure your background work is happening every 60 seconds rather than every 15 minutes. So if we hit run, that should be working now. We can even put a breakpoint in here. Nope, and so none of my shortcut keys are working, none of the integration is working, but I'm fairly sure it worked. If we go down to here, we should see it update to 39, no. Symbols have been loaded. Okay, you know what? We're going to kill that. That's why you set these. That's why you do it the night before to make sure that it works. So I'm thinking that because this instance of Visual Studio was open before Visual Studio freaked out when I opened it up for my first demo, everything should still be happy in this instance of Visual Studio. So step one, we're going to pin the tile. Cool, still blank. Enable the background worker. So if we wait 20 seconds, let's go and put a demo test one. No. Okay, something's going all freaky on my system this morning. There we go. Run. Hooray. So that bit works, and we just ignore that because that's my next demo. Yeah, so as you saw, the only thing that we did was we created a background worker. So most of that was just a right-click create. We just went into the to-do section and then we just pasted in the code that we had there to update the live tile anyway. So it's fairly simple to do it. We only had we had about 8 lines of code in the actual application to go and schedule the background worker and then periodically re-execute it. So let's disable that background worker. Let's close all and just hope that it's going to actually. Let's turn it off and turn it back on again. So while my computer's doing that. So background workers, they're great and all, but they're very limited in what they can do. So there are API constraints. So for example, background workers can't use anything to do with a camera or the microphone. That's just to stop any spy applications on there, so you can't periodically keep listening to what the user's doing at the moment. You've only got 11 megabytes of memory for that, so you can't do a whole bunch of processing in these, because remember, they're just meant to be in the background, so the user may still be using applications, so you don't want to be using up all the CPU. And if you've got bad code in there and your background worker keeps crashing, after 2 consecutive crashes, your system's your phone's just going to go, nah, that's it. It's just going to disable your background worker from working anymore. And most importantly, it will not run in battery saver mode. So when you get down to the last 10% of your phone will automatically go into battery saver mode, and it disables all of this extra sort of work. Because it figures you probably want an extra hour of battery than having a little bit of like extra niceness in your application. Now, there are 2 different types of background tasks. The one that I just demonstrated was a periodic task. Now, this is one that will run approximately every 30 minutes. But it may shift due to a busy system. As I said, every 30 minutes or so, it's going to go and say, can I execute now? If it can, it will. If your system's too busy, it may just shift it off. And you've also only got a maximum time of 25 seconds to do stuff in this background worker. If you take longer than 25 seconds, the system will just kill it. So make sure that you've finished everything before that time. Now, if you do need more time than those 25 seconds, the second type of task is the resource-intensive task. Now, the only difference in this is that you get 10 minutes of execution time this time, but there are a whole bunch of restrictions around this. The phone must be plugged into power, it needs to be on Wi-Fi, you need to have more than 9% of your battery left, so that means it's plugged in, it's charged up, and then it goes, okay, I'm charged up enough now, we can do some things. And the device has to be not currently in use. The screen has to be turned off. So this means it's probably going to be when the user is asleep at night and it's being charged next to the bed. Which means if they don't have the phone connected to Wi-Fi, this is never going to happen. So some reasons why you may use a resource-intensive task is things to do at the end of the day when the user's not using the phone. So examples of that could be lots of people I've seen at TechEd have been wearing those exercise wristbands, the Fitbits. So, for example, you could, during the day, go and use Bluetooth to pick up what's happening on your Fitbit during the day. Then at the end of the night, you may go and just start processing all of this data. So you can process it, look at the averages, generate all of those charts. And you can do that each night while the user is sleeping. Now, your background task can actually have both of these. So periodically, you can keep doing this every 30 minutes. And then when it gets a bunch of time at night time, you can do some additional stuff. One that I wish that would do this was would be Spotify. I wish that Spotify at the night in the night time would go through, look at all of my offline lists, and automatically go and sync them for me. But it doesn't. So many times I'm on the train, I've got a crappy network connection. I've gone, oh, I'll listen to some music offline now. Oh, it hasn't synchronized it. So I wish they would do it for that. So after background workers and live tiles, we have toast notifications. Now, toast notifications, if you've ever used it, if you've ever used a Windows phone and you've received a text message, that's what a toast notification is. It pops up at the top, gives the user a bit of information, and then it's gone. Some important things to know about toast notifications, they only appear when the application is not active. So if your application is active, you can't pop up the toast notification. Now, I can get around this with things like raw notifications or using a control vendor. But if the user misses it, then it's too bad. It's not like iOS, how they have a notification center. You can keep displaying notifications. The user can go back and look at them all. Windows Phone, it happens once. If the user's not looking at it, then too bad. So there are pros and cons of this approach. And me, I like this approach just because every time I pick up my iPad in the notification center, there's like 50 notifications. I have to go clear. So pros and cons to whichever way you go about it. One cool thing, though, is when the toast notification pops up, the user can click on it, which will go and launch your application. Now, you can optionally set this navigation URL property in your toast notification so that when the user clicks on the toast notification, it will launch your application, but then it will navigate to a page that you set. So maybe, for example, an eBay application. So when the user clicks on the tile, it will launch the eBay application, but then take them to a particular page within the application to show the details. So let's go back to the demo. And it's still spinning. What? I didn't even do anything with this one. Task manager, details. What's Visual Studio process called? Oh, yeah, that's right. Kill. Hey, that's quicker. He says with a pinwheel. Okay, file. Open project. Wait, where's the recent one? Demo. Okay, so this is the one that we were just working with. What we're going to do this time is, because they have to happen when the application isn't open, we're going to add it to our background worker. So we've got our update live tile here. We're also going to periodically make toast. Toast notifications, really, really simple to do. Even less lines of code. There you go. So first we just create a new shell toast class. We set the properties on it. So we're going to set the title to TechEd Demo. Then we're just going to pop up what the current time is. Once we set up the live tile, we show it. That's it, even easier than a live tile. So you would use these toast notifications when you have to tell something to the user now. But again, it's kind of time sensitive. So if they miss it, it probably doesn't matter. If it's something that they need to know about, you may send the toast, and then you'd probably update your live tile to have a notification icon on your live tile to say you have one notification you haven't looked at yet. If it's that important, you'd probably use both of them together. So if we hit F5, we're going to launch everything again. Okay, we'll enable. Okay, that's cool. That. Pin it. Okay, so the background worker has happened once so far, but it hasn't happened again. It happened once, but because our application was open, the toast notification couldn't happen. So if we wait another 60 seconds or so, we'll probably hear it go ding ding, and up the top we'll see it say whatever. I'll just continue. You hear it go bing. That. Okay, so I can leave it go in the background because I can start talking about the next section. So Azure Notification Hubs. So far everything that we've been doing has been stuff you can do on the phone locally. So local live tiles when the user completes a level in Angry Birds. There we go. Pops up. The current time is blah. So toast notifications are easy to do. Azure Notification Hubs, yeah, so everything has been local so far. Local tiles, local toast notifications, local background workers. So again, background worker can go periodically look at stuff, and then it could throw up a toast to say, hey, I just detected that your phone credit is going over. You can throw that up locally. Now, if we want to do a whole bunch of processing on a server and start pushing information down to the phone, we can use cloud computing. So, quote from Scott Guthrie about this, notification hubs provide an extremely scalable cross-platform push notification infrastructure that enables you, the developer, to efficiently route push notification messages, and this is the important line, to millions of mobile users and devices. So you're not going to hit the limitations of Notification Hub to push information out. Microsoft is currently using Notification Hubs within their Bing News application, which is on every single Windows 8 machine. And so it can push notifications to all of these millions of Windows 8 machines that are already using this. So our little Windows 8 and Windows Phone applications will not hit the limits of this. So there have been a few iterations that Microsoft have done of this. When Windows Phone first came out, it was Windows Phone Notification Services that came out. And you had to do everything manually by hand, and it was a real pain. After that, they heard all of us screaming about how difficult it was, so they made an easier version of it called Azure Mobile Services, which was easier, but you still had to do things individually with each phone that you were trying to send push notifications out to. It was easier, but still not all the way there. And just, I think it was last month, Microsoft released Azure Notification Hubs. So all that you need to know is it has more yeses in this column, which means it's better. But the two that we care about for this demo is this bottom one. We can broadcast to over a million devices at once within minutes. So you send it, and within minutes they're going to go and handle all the backend infrastructure for you to make sure all of them get out. And this one, interest tags, which I'll cover in a second demo. Now, most workflows that show this have lines going everywhere, crisscrossing. It takes about 8 steps. Now, for this demo that I'm going to do, there's about 9 lines of code in total. So if you know how to do it, it's really, really simple. So I've simplified the workflow down to just 3 steps. Step 1, the user launches your phone. Not your phone. They launch the application on their phone. Once they've launched the application, the application is just going to send a single message to the notification hub. That single message is just going to register this the application with your notification hub. Step 1, that takes about 6 to 8 lines of code. So once it's in there, step 2, which, and this is only 3 lines of code, just your back-end service, so it could be a back-end console application, we can just go and send a message to Azure Notification Hubs with the toast notification that we want to push out. So we can say, this live tile, push it out to everyone. This toast notification, push it out to everyone. 3 lines of code. And that's it. Once we've sent it up to Azure, that would go look at all of the devices that have been registered. It will go and push out that toast notification to those millions of devices. So to show how easy it is, we're going to do the next demo. Now, to make sure this works, we need a reliable internet connection. Hey, there we go. That background worker's still working. Okay, that seems to be working. For anyone who doesn't know this, whenever you're trying to test stuff, you can go and try to type things in here. But if you go control page down, it actually enables your keyboard. So now I can just type much easier. Okay, so it looks like we've got a reliable internet connection, which is great with conference Wi-Fi. Okay, we'll back out all the way from there. So let's open. I'm too scared to open up a new instance of Visual Studio. Step 1, let's actually go back into here, disable that background worker so it's not going to keep popping up every 60 seconds. Kill that. So within this working instance of Visual Studio, I'm going to go file a new project. We're going to create a new phone app, and we're going to call this Phone Azure Services Demo. Hit OK. Okay, so we have this new blank phone application that we're going to enable Azure Notification Hubs in. So I'm going to take you through complete end-to-end. So if you haven't signed up to Windows Azure, if you have an MSDN account, then you get a whole bunch of Windows Azure credits. It ranges from $50 to about $150 worth of credit. If you're working for a company that has an MSDN subscription, just grab the token that's when you log into MSDN to go and download Windows 8 and that. There's a big notification there saying, hey, please activate your Windows Azure benefits. But anyway, notification hubs to use for up to 500 devices is free anyway. So for most of us, most little phone applications that we make, we're probably not going to hit those limits anyway. So it's free to start playing around with. To get started with it, once you're logged in, you go New, Notification Hub. So all of this is actually backed onto the back of Service Bus. So with Service Bus, you have queues and relays and things like that. So this is how they made it scalable to go to push it out to millions of devices, because it's all built on top of that BizTalk Service Bus stuff. So we're going to hit Create. We're going to set it to Southeast Asia. For anyone who hasn't heard, in 2014, so next year, Microsoft are releasing new Azure data centers in Australia. So they're going to have them in Victoria and in New South Wales. So they never say which city it's in. We all know which cities. But they say Victoria, New South Wales. They're going to be releasing them next year. So let's call this Tech Ed Demo. And let's just put in a number just in case someone's already done it. Thinking. And for some reason, it's giving me the namespace of Tech Ed Demo Test 2. That's demo gods today. Hello? And that namespace is not updating. Fine. Let's re-log into Azure. So this morning in the minibar of my hotel, they had a can of Red Bull. I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah. Sorry, can of Mother. So I went, cool. So I grabbed the can of Mother, drank it, and then I looked at the price list of the minibars. I went, $7 for a tiny can of energy drink. Oh, come on. So I had one. Obviously, my computer didn't have one this morning. I'll happily pay $7 to make my laptop work right now. Okay. And it's still in there. Whatever. So we're going to go Tech Ed Demo. Create a notification hub. It didn't create any of the other things that I wanted. Okay. It's there anyway. So we have Tech Ed Demo. We can see it's active. If we open it up, this is the dashboard for it. If we scroll down a little bit, so we'll see nice little graphs and charts showing us the health of our notification hub. It also gives us a bunch of nice things around usage. So it will tell us our daily operations, so how many push notifications and that we've done, and number of active devices and the number of registrations. So again, because we're on the free one, well, we've got some limits here of 5,000 and 500 there. But the thing that we care about is this connection strings. Cool, so we'll grab these in a second. So now that we've got our notification hub there ready for us to start registering devices with, first step is we're going to right-click references, we're going to go into NuGet, and we're going to get a package. Oh, yeah. A package called paste. There you go. We're going to get that. So Microsoft have already written all of the code to go and send a network request, keep track of that channel, things like that. So step one, just add that NuGet package. Step two, go into our manifest, go to capabilities, and we just announced to the marketplace that we want push notifications. Okay, so that's all the setup stuff done. Now, just like with background workers, how every time your application launches, you probably want to refresh that background worker. Same thing with your subscription to the Notification Hub. They only last for a couple of weeks, I think around 2 weeks, and so you need to refresh it. Best place to do that, again, is when your application is launching. Application launching. So here's the few lines of code that we need. This was 6, 8 lines of code. Okay, so first we just go finds and try to find one of this name. So this is going to check on the phone locally if we have previously registered this application. So if it has one, that's fine, we can just continue. If we haven't already set one up, then we just go create a new one. We just tell it to open a connection, and then we just tell it, we tell Azure Notification Services what kind of stuff this this application is registering for. So in this case, we've got one telling it that it should be sending us toast notifications, and another one's telling Azure that it can send tile notifications to us. When I was doing some work on this last week, I did the tile one. I forgot to do that one line. So I spent 6 hours debugging this, wondering why my toast notifications weren't coming down, because I forgot this one line telling Azure Notification Services that it can send me that. So once it's done that, then we can just go and set up the URI. So the URI needs two things. We need the name of the hub, which is Teched Demo. I'm surprised no other users have used that one yet. Teched Demo. And then the connection string. Now, in here I've written limited because we have two keys there. We've got a limited one, so we've got a listen one. So that just means these devices are waiting, listening for notifications from Azure Notification Hub. So we only want to give that one out to all of our users. This is the important one, the full shared, the full one. So this is the one we're going to use in our administration applications. Never, ever, ever put this one into your phone application, because it just takes someone to go decompile your application, get that connection string, suddenly they're controlling your Azure Notification Service. Never do that. That's why they give you this limited one. So we're going to copy that one. We're going to paste that in there. We're going to put a breakpoint in here and here. Run this. So that was step one. Okay, so we're going through. It hasn't found one. That's great. So we're going to set it up. So we're going to hit F5 and continue. Now, it's going to go and try to open a connection with Windows Azure. If it does successfully open a connection with Windows Azure, it's going to check all its current subscription settings and things like that. If something's different, it'll know to refresh itself. So in this instance, because it's opened a connection to Azure, but the application has realized, wait, I haven't actually got a subscription anywhere yet, it's going to ask us for the URI. So we're telling it, yep, go look for a notification hub called that, and there's where you can actually go and get it, the shared access key, etc. So we hit F5. That's it. Our application is now registered with Azure Notification Hubs waiting for some messages. In fact, if we go back to the dashboard, don't know how often this refreshes. Okay, it doesn't say it there yet, but if we go over to one that I was working on yesterday, I know that's right, because the one I was trying to do yesterday, I was trying to do it on hotel Wi-Fi, so I just never got that far. But you will eventually see a number of active devices. Okay, so that's all we had to do on the phone side, those 6, 8 lines of code, which you just copy and paste off MSDN anyway, nothing for you to write. The second step is we now need to create a server process, or something that's going to go and tell Azure, hey, go and send out those notifications. So I'm going to create a new console app. So in this console app, same thing, we're going to go and add a NuGet package, because Microsoft has done most of the work for us. Paste. Install. Okay, so on your server process, it's even less lines of code. So we're going to have paste, bring in the namespaces. Okay, so in our main method, we're going to send toast notification async. Then we're just going to wait, console dot. Cool, so in this method, we're going to pass in a string. So that's a string that we're going to set up on our Toast notification. So we take that in, we've got our notification hub, so we set that up, and so this time we want the full connection string, which is fine, because we're never going to give this one out to users. So take a demo, we're going to go back to connection strings, we're going to copy the full access signature, paste it in with quotes, paste it in there, hub name was Tech Ed Demo, but I'm going to copy it. Okay, so that's set up. This is one line, so XML. So when we do push notifications to phones, you do it as an XML package. There are helper methods you can get out there to write the XML for you. I'm just doing it as XML just to show that there are different ways that you can do it. So in your XML payload, you say what it is. In this case, it's a toast. You could also do live tiles. In the toast, we've got a bit of XML saying what the text for it should be. So in that case, we're going to pass in whatever we passed into this method. So yeah, one line of code, second line of code to create the toast, third line of code, we just go and push it out to Azure. That's it. So if we right-click, debug, start it, depending on the network connection, what? Okay, that's correct. That's correct. Tech Ed Demo. Yeah. Okay, let's do it again. Bad request. How is it a bad request? There's no target applications. It does, because of my phone application registered itself earlier. I don't know.
Are you setting the console to start up?
I'm doing a right-click debug, so it's the console application is that one. So I didn't start it as startup. Review the credentials. Okay, let's just check that I'm using the correct one. That's easy. We can go over to app.xaml. So we've got Tech Ed Demo and let's see. Tech Ed Demo Test 2. Ah. Service bus. Oh no, Tech Ed Demo Test 2. Listen. Tech Ed Demo. Yeah, we did all of that. Okay. I don't know. It usually works. You can see that it should be working, but as you've also seen, nothing on my laptop is working this morning at all. So in a perfect world, that would be working right now.
It said zero devices,
but yeah, let's just go and rerun my phone application. Maybe I didn't hit continue when it went and registered it. My background work is still working. Fine, we're going to turn it off. We're going to wait a few seconds. We're going to turn it back on again. If it doesn't work, I'll just move on. Okay, we've hit that breakpoint. We'll wait a few seconds. And it should hit this one. Should hit this one. Hey, continue. Maybe I just killed the app before it had finished registering. Yeah, that's what happened because of the speed of the network connection here. Okay, so if we right-click the console application, go debug, start new instance. Right click, debug, start new instance. Aha. No! So, Azure Notification Hub. Okay, so we saw it's only a few lines of code, and when I'm not up on stage demoing it, it works. Now, there are ways that we can extend it. So what we saw to start off with was a number of devices going registering with Azure Notification Hubs, and then we can just go and say, hey, to everyone that's registered, push out this information. Now, that's great in a lot of instances, but we can actually do better than that. Azure Notification Hubs also has this notion of tagging those the users when you're registering them. So if we go and tag them different things, we can push out different updates to our different segments of our users. So for example, if you've got a sports application, when the user is using it, they can go and say that they're interested in AFL. If they're interested in AFL, which team that they're interested in. So then we can go and tag them with what they're interested in. So they're interested in AFL, they're not interested in cricket, but they're interested in Geelong. I knew whichever team I chose, someone would groan. So you could also do it based on geolocation. So you may go and tag them that they're in Melbourne, you may tag them that they're in Sydney, so you can push out different information to them based on where they are. You can also tag them based on a stock symbol. So you could say which stocks they're actually interested in. So that way on our server, we can go and keep on looking at this information. And when something interesting happens, we can go and push them out to all the people that have registered for that stock ticker. Another interesting one is logical user ID. So if you have one user that's using a Windows Phone and a Windows 8 device, when you're registering them, you could go and tag them with their obfuscated live ID, for example. So that way you know the same user is using these devices. So when we're pushing them out, we're pushing out to that one user to those devices, which is kind of what something like Skype would do. When you're logged into Skype on your Windows 8 device and on your Windows Phone, and you get a message, you get a push notification to both the devices, and etc. So I'll show you the lines of code to do this. I won't bother pressing run because we know what's going to happen. At the time. So we're going to, when we send the toast notification, this is on the server side. When we send the toast notification, we can say which tags we should be sending it to as an optional thing. So we put in tag there. Up here, we're going to take in a string of the tag, and the default we'll set it to null. That means that's an C# optional parameter for people who haven't seen it. So that way this method call is still valid, and then we can send out multiple toast notifications. So let's go back to our phone application for a moment. Now when we start up and we do this registration, if we do a comma, we can see that there's another method parameter there called tags. So we can say that they're interested in the stock ticker of Microsoft. It's an enumerable new string Microsoft, they could be interested in Google, etc. So if we ran that and a network connection was working, it would go and register it correctly. And so then on our server side, we can go and send a toast notification. We can say Microsoft stock just went up. And then we can pass in the tag for all those users that it should be doing it to. And so for the example of our user that we just did then, we could set another one for Sony. We can have another Sony specific there. Sony, so in my demo, I did it like that. So then we would run our phone application. It would register for the Microsoft tag ticker. We would run this. It would send off both those toast notifications out to all of our users. But then inside of our emulator, we would only get one of them working. We'd only get the Microsoft push notification. We wouldn't get the other one. And so the same thing again can happen with pushing out toast notifications. So I had another one here where we would have been pushing out an XML payload for a live tile update. And so same sort of thing, you could have it as an eBay application. So the eBay server would be there looking at things. Whenever the bids get updated, you can go and push down a new live tile to you. So in your application tile, you can have the image of whatever item they were bidding on, and then you can set a dollar symbol on to show them what the current bid currently is, so they don't have to keep opening up the application. In a perfect world, I'll show you that. We're not going to. Okay, so we just cover off a few extra things. So we'll go back to my very first slide that I was talking about. So we had a look at live tiles, background workers, toast notifications, how we can do them locally, how we can do them in the cloud. And so the whole reason we did this, again, was to try and increase the awesomeness of our applications. I've given a bunch of examples through it, but to just go through a few more. AU WeatherPro, great application. For anyone who went into Shane Morris's talk on Wednesday, Shane Morris went through a UX doctor thing on this. Now, this application, again, while you're using it, it's great, it's beautiful, it's engaging while it's open. When it's not open, the user doesn't know about it. And so what they've done, you can pin live tiles to it, so then without opening up the application, you can constantly see what the weather currently is and what the weather's going to be tomorrow and the next day. So if you can do that for the user, they can pin it to the front screen. Every time they use their phone, they're going to look at your app and go, yeah, that was useful. Thank you, application. So another way of engaging the user. And to look back at the things we've been looking at today, that application would be using local services. Now, because they don't control the Bureau of Meteorology data, they're just going to go and periodically go and pull back the data. And so they're using a background worker to do that. If they've got live tiles, if they wanted to, they could expand it to use toast notifications also. So once it's checked the weather, if there are any severe weather warnings, they could pop up a toast notification to the user saying, hey, bushfires, hey, extreme winds, etc. So that's an example of an application using local services to make the application exceptional. Another one would be something like an eBay application. Now, in this case, in eBay, you can go and watch a number of different bids that are going on, auctions that are going on, and inside of it you can have a number of messages that are going on. So maybe you're messaging the sellers trying to ask more questions about this, and so you would have to go and open it up and look at those things all the time. Pin it to the home screen, straight away we can see images of what we're bidding on, we can see if we have notifications, etc. Now, because things like bidding is probably a bit more time sensitive than the weather, you'd want to do this up in the cloud. So they'll be using push notifications for this with live tiles to do that. Tile counts, so we can do that. In my Azure demo, I was going to show you that. And then toast notifications. So toast notifications will be things you want to tell the user right now, which would definitely be something like, hey, you just got outbidded. Come back and engage us a bit more to try and win this time. So more ways to engage the user. And so there are ways that we can engage the user to keep using applications more. If we wanted to, we can try to influence how our users are using this application. So one way would be everyone who's trialing your application. So because we can tag these users up in Azure Notification, we can go and say tag everyone who's using it. We can tag them as pro. Everyone who's currently trialing it, we can tag them as trial. So then if we're doing a current sale in the apps in the app stores, rather than $2.99 for this week, it's only $1.99. We can go and do a push notification out to all of those trial users saying, "Hey, you're still a trial user. Here, look, we're on sale this week. Come." You could do it in something like Candy Crush. I'm sure everyone's heard of Candy Crush, so you could do it in that as well. If you've got in-app purchases such as buy the extra candy bombs and timers and things like that, if you're doing a sale on them, so if you noticing a bunch of users that aren't engaging with the app as much anymore, you could go and send them a thing saying, hey, in-app purchase, just for you this week, we're going to go and have 50% off all candy bombs. Things like that. Another way of doing it is you may not be trying to do sales and things like that, but maybe you've got a bigger application that you're trying to get them to engage with. So in this case, I play a console game called Dust514. So this is connected up to a game called EVE Online. So in this game, it's a first-person shooter, but you can earn experience. And the amount of experience that you can earn each week is capped. You can only earn, let's say, 20,000 experience each week. And each week, the cap gets reset. So every Wednesday it gets reset, you can earn 20,000 again. Now, one way that they could engage their users is anyone who's using the companion application. So as a cloud service, we could check it. So the day before, we can check their experience. We can see if they haven't hit enough for the weekly cap. So we could send them out a toast notification or update their live hub with a warning saying, hey, you haven't earned it yet. If you don't earn it this week, you're going to miss out. So there are other ways we can go and engage them with our bigger applications. And in this whole bigger thing then with Windows services, so if we are doing these sort of things, we can track how the user is actually using our applications to see which of these techniques are actually working better. So for example, we can put in Google Analytics. So there are ways to hook this into Google Analytics. So we can see which screens the users are using, how long they use the applications for. So Andrew Coates, he created a little game called Find a Word, and he added Google Analytics into that. So he was able to see that the average time that people were playing it was something like 15 minutes or something like that, which is massive for a game. And so he was able to see that. He was able to see how long they were playing each of the different board games. And so you can do this, and you can also do a little bit of A-B testing. So you can see, hey, when we did have this live tile set to display this sort of information, the users engaged it, 20% of the time. We changed the live tile, suddenly they're engaging with the application a lot more. So again, exceptional applications, but to make sure that that you know that the users are actually thinking your applications are exceptional, ways we can actually track this. And this last one's probably a good one, trying to track your conversion rate for trial users. So trying to see that. So topics, I covered all of that. Now, I always throw all of my code up onto GitHub. So if you do want to use those 6 line codes that I was writing about the place, I've got them all up on GitHub. So you can go onto GitHub. I've got all of my links to everything to Twitter, GitHub, my blog, etc. All of that's on just about.me/DaveAbrella. That's the easiest way to find all of my links. And as I said, as a thank you to everyone that came to an 8 a.m. session, I'll give everyone here a copy of our Windows Phone 8 controls for free. So if you want them, just come up, grab my business card, send me an email saying you were in my 8 a.m. session. I'll give you our controls for free as a thank you for that. Cool.